Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis, Text 31. Itam Gajendra sa yadapa sankatam pranasya dehi vivasho Yadrichchaya Aparaya Atma Vimokshane Chiram Dadyav Imam Budhim Atavyapadyata Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivaso Yadrichchaya Aparayan Atma Vimokshane Chiram Dadya Vimam Buddhi Matabhya Padyata Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivasho Drajrichtaya Aparayan Atma Vimokshane Chiram Dadya Vimam Buddhi Matabhya Padyata Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivasho Yadrichchaya Aparayan Atma Vimokshane Chiram Dadya Vimam Buddhi Matabhya Padyata Pranasya Dehi Vivasho Jidrichtaya Aparayan Atma Vimokshane Chiram Dadya Vimodini Mitabha Padyata Tam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivasho Jadrichtaya Aparayan Atma Vimokshane Chiram Tadya Vimam Buddhi Matabhya Padyata Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivaso Jadrichchaya Parayan Atma Vimokshane Siram Tadya Vimam Buddhi Matabhya Padyata Tam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya dehi vivasalya drishtaya aparayanatma vimokshane chiram tadya vimam buddhim atavya padyata itam gajendra sayadapa sankatam pranasya dehi vivasalya drishtaya aparayanatma vimokshane chiram tadya vimam buddhim atavya padyata. Vaishnavis, tagajindram sayadapa sankatam pranasya dehi vivasvaya drishtaya aparayat navimokshane chiram tadya vimam buddhim atavya padyata tam gajendra sifara tham kacham aparayanatma vimokshane chiram tadya vimam buddhim atavya padyata itam gajendra sayadam samhitam pranasya dehi vivasvaya drishtaya aparayanatma vimokshane chiram tadya vimam buddhim atavya padyata itam, in this way, Gaja Indraha, the king of the elephants, Saha, he, Yada, when, Apa, obtained, Sankatam, such a dangerous position, Pranasya, of life. Dehi, who is embodied. Vivashaha, circumstantially helpless. Yadrichchaya, by the will of providence. Aparayan, being unable. Atma vimokshane, to save himself. Jiram, for a long time. Dadyo, began to think seriously. Imam, this. Budhim, decision. Ata, thereupon. Abhyapadyata, reached. A translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence and being embodied and circumstantially helpless could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Please repeat. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence and being embodied and circumstantially helpless could not save himself from danger. He was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Purport. Everyone in the material world is engaged in a struggle for existence. Everyone tries to save himself from danger. But when one is unable to save himself, if he is pious, he then takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 16. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritana arjana. Arto jigyasar artarti jnani cha bharatar shabha. Four kinds of pious men, namely one who is in danger, one who is in need of money, one who is searching for knowledge, and one who is inquisitive, begin to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be saved or to advance. The king of the elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So for many of us, we're in the position being described here. Somehow or other, you know, we've decided to take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna by becoming part of this movement, which was established by a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in order to create a society with facilities so that people could do that, have that chance, you know, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Although this opportunity is being offered to all classes of people, we see that only some take it up. And that is because only some of the conditioned souls have a background of pious activity that perhaps accumulated over many lifetimes that allows them to respond favorably to the invitation or the opportunity to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is stated, you know, several places in Shastra. You know, Srila Prabhupada would often mention it, that somehow those who were attracted to his movement must have had some previous contact with it in some past life. Maybe that's not true in all cases. Sometimes a person can just be the recipient of causeless mercy in this life, but in many cases, a person becomes attracted to the Krishna consciousness movement because of some past background of pious activities. You know, our acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book Jiva Dharma says the same thing, that some people, when they hear the holy name of the Lord, they're not attracted, you know, because they don't have any sukriti, any background of pious activity that would allow them, you know, to do that. In Bhagavad Gita itself, Arjuna asks Krishna about these things. He asks, well, what happens to a person who takes up the path of devotional service but doesn't achieve the final goal in one life? And Lord Krishna explains, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vijayate, that a person who doesn't complete the path of devotional service will take birth again in human form and take birth in a nice situation, a family that has some means, economic means, or even better than that, a family of devotees, and will be given an opportunity to take up, you know, the path of devotional service again. So we don't necessarily understand everything about, you know, the previous history of the devotees around us. But, you know, from the indications given by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, we can get some idea that those who come to the Krishna consciousness movement are very fortunate individuals who have some, who are either the recipients of causeless mercy in this life, or more likely have some background of pious activities or association with Krishna consciousness from some past life or many past lives. So these things are spoken in Bhagavad Gita. And when I was in India recently, I went to Mayapur, but I also gave some lectures at universities in different parts of India. And one of the schools that I gave a lecture at was the National Institute of Technology at Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra is a big place. Kind of like Vrindavan is a big place. There's the village of Vrindavan, but then there's the Vrindavan area, which is quite big. Or there's the Mayapur area, but then there's Mayapur Dham, which is quite extensive. So Kurukshetra is a big place, quite extensive. But there's a place within the Kurukshetra area called Jyotisar, which is where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And we say that again and again. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Srila Prabhupada was very insistent that that is a historical fact. You know, because some commentators on the Gita have tried to say it's symbolic, you know, Kurukshetra is symbolic for the human heart, and Prabhupada insisted, no, it's a real place. It's north of New Delhi, you know, maybe about 100 miles north of New Delhi. there's an actual place, Kurukshetra, and a battle did take place there 5,000 years ago, and Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna there. So at this place called Jyotisar, there is a model of, you know, a life-size model of Krishna's chariot, and there, you know, Krishna's on the chariot, Arjuna is there. So it kind of marks the spot. So it was personally very significant for me to be at the spot where, you know, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So Bhagavad Gita, such, it's probably the most significant book in my life. As I've said a few times, somehow or other, I received a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is from some devotees at a rock concert in 1973. And that was the beginning of my direct association with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, I wrote away to the secretary, you know, as it said, it says in the book, readers interested in the subject matter of this book are invited by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust to correspond with its secretary at the following address. So I did that. Gradually started visiting temples, and here I am today. So that is the power of Bhagavad Gita, of transcendental book distribution. But yeah, the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is eternal. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Vivasvan manave praha manarikshvakave bravit. Lord Krishna says that the knowledge originates with him on the spiritual level of reality. And then it was spoken by Lord Krishna to the sun god Vivasvan. And Vivasvan spoke it to the same knowledge to Manu, who spoke it to Ikshvaku, the first king of the solar dynasty on earth. And gradually it came down through the process of disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam. So, you know, I came to Los Angeles, ISKCON in 1976 to work on the staff of Back to Godhead magazine. And I began writing some articles for the magazine. In 1979, I wrote an article about this pastime. You know, the magazine had what we called pastime articles, where we would summarize, you know, a story from Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. So I, 1979, I wrote one based on this pastime, Gajendra's pastime. So one lesson that we can get from this pastime of Gajendra and the crocodile is that the situations that we find ourselves in this lifetime may have some connection with things that have happened in previous lifetimes. Like, you can see both Gajendra and the crocodile had previous histories. You know, Gajendra was in a previous life the king Indradyumna, who had offended the sage Agastya Muni, who had been offended by his not paying proper attention to him when he came to his ashram. So he said, "You're behaving kind of like a dumb animal, so in your next life, That's going to be your birth. So he took birth as an elephant. And the crocodile in a previous life had been King Huhu, who was a Gandharva king. And he was a playful sort of fellow. And you know, he'd been sporting in the water at one time, and a sage happened to be taking bath in the water, Devala Rishi. And King Huhu, being very playful, had gone under the water and pulled his leg. So he was cursed by Devala Rishi to become a crocodile. If you want to, in other words, if you want to behave like an animal and grab the legs of things in the water, then you become a crocodile. So the situation that of the, you know, the incident of the crocodile and the elephant had a history that went back to previous lifetimes. So many of the situations that we may find ourselves in may also have something to do with, you know, activities we've performed in previous lifetimes. So in this case, it was an arrangement by the Supreme Personality of the Godhead so that this pastime could take place for our instruction. There's actually a place in South India called Gajendra Mokshana Tirtha, you know, the place of the liberation of Gajendra, where there's a temple. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described how Lord Chaitanya visited this place during his tour of South India. You know, the place is near Kanyakumari, which is at the southernmost tip of India. And yeah, this pastime is very well known in South India. There are many temples that have either deities or temple paintings or carvings that are related to this pastime. I went to one in an old temple in Tamil Nadu near the town of Salem, where, you know, on the roof of this old temple, like we have our paintings up here, they had paintings on the ceiling, and it's a nice one of this Gajendra Mokshana pastime. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj makes an allusion to this pastime in describing Lord Chaitanya's preaching in South India. He said, Krishnadas Kaviraj says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the people of South India were very strong, like elephants, but they were in the grip of the crocodile of various false philosophies, like the Mayavadi impersonalist philosophy and the Buddhist voidist philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, delivered, you know, the people of South India from these crocodile-like philosophies. So, you know, today, you know, people are also in the crocodile-like grip of various atheistic and materialistic philosophies. So the purpose of the modern Krishna consciousness movement is to deliver people from, you know, the grip of these false philosophies. And Now, that'll be one of the purposes of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, which is, you know, being built in Sridhar, Mayapur. You know, Srila Prabhupada had a vision that people from all over the world would come there and become educated in the proper philosophy and understanding of the purpose of life. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Tabu, thank you for a very shastric, interesting class, as always. My question is, you mentioned right here at the end that these people in South India, there's a place called Gajendra Mokshana Tirtha where they, I don't know if...
It's a temple that Lord Chaitanya visited. Dedicated to this pastime. Srila Prabhupada mentions it, and it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita briefly, and Srila Prabhupada mentions it in a purport.
Is it the understanding of the people in that area that that's where that pastime took place?
It's not directly stated, but could be. So I don't know, but it's definitely stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that during his tour of South India, Lord Chaitanya visited this place, and there's still a temple there today. Although Srila Prabhupada does mention that sometimes it's misunderstood to be a Shiva temple rather than a Vishnu temple. So, but real answer to your question is, I don't know, because it's not stated there, and I haven't visited it myself, but it would be something to look into. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.